CHUM AM Toronto is TSN 1050, an iHeart radio station and the voice of Toronto sports.
Quick question for you.
Hey, let me ask you something.
Can I ask you a question?
Can you dig it?
Yes, guy.
Can you dig it?
Yes, guy.
The man with the words you've been dying to hear.
Yes, guy.
This is the Yes Guy Show with Jim Taddy on TSN 1050.
Can you dig it?
Oh, yes, guy. Another weekend is here. Jim Taddy and Perry Lefko with you. Coming up in the broadcast today, first of all, we'll ascertain how Mr. Lefko is doing today. Perry, how are you today, sir?
Doing fine. How about you?
Everything's good here. We have some interesting guests lined up. Sean Valancourt will be our first guest. He is from our military, Petty Officer Second Class. He was honored at the Maple Leaf game last Saturday night against Boston. And Mike Johnson from the TSN headquarters was the Maple Leaf alumni. So he's an interesting guy. And when he's here, I'll explain to everybody how I inadvertently met him. And it's an interesting story, I think. He's got a podcast at Guys Beer Sports One is the Twitter account. Coming up after him, Angelo Mosca Jr. paying tribute to his father, Angelo Sr., who passed away a week ago. And, you know, with Ange Sr. passing away and Nancy Bauer, some great people have left us, and we'll pay tribute to Angelo Sr. and, of course, acknowledge the passing of Nancy Bauer as well. Later on, Charles Park, real estate expert. I was going to say REMAX, but he does work for REMAX, so REMAX West Realty. He's going to talk about affordability, which is a big issue in the house buying market, especially for first-time buyers, as the prices get a little high, and you want to figure out how this can work for you. And, of course, later on, yes guy, no guy. So, Perry, what's up?
Jim, I want to ask you, are you getting excited about next week, Thanksgiving, the Detroit Lions playing?
No guy, not at all. Wow, what a mess that is. I don't want them to mess up the draft pick now because they're notorious for that. You know, when losing the first three quarters of the season and then winning out and then missing out in the number one pick. So it's a disaster. It's a write-off. We'll leave it at that. Let's bring in our first guest now. Sean Valancourt is here. Sean, welcome. How are you today, sir?
Hey, excellent. Excellent, Jim. What an honor to be on today. And Perry, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
So, Sean, you know, this is a fractured sort of hookup that we had through my high school buddy Morris, who ran into you. You know, you were both out as couples. You know, he and his wife, and you and your wife, I assume, and so you met somewhere, and then all of a sudden, I got involved in this. Explain to our listeners.
Yeah, talk about chance encounters. Honestly, I truly believe that things happen for a reason, and so. We were going to go to an Indian restaurant in Pembroke. Believe it or not, there is one there in Pembroke, Ontario. And there's also a Thai restaurant there as well, but we decided on Thai. And in comes your friend Morris, and we just got into a discussion. And then we started talking about sports, and I was talking about my podcast. And he ended up mentioning your name, Jim, and how he was a high school friend of yours. So I was just there going, oh, it would be great to even talk to a person like this, you know, just to pick his brain about anything about broadcasting, sports, anything like that. It would be such a great opportunity. And the very fact that he actually made this connection with you, I thought to myself, like, that it's probably just going to go by the wayside. But he actually reached out to you. And Jim, thank you so much for reaching out to me. I mean, I was just somebody you had no idea, just your high school friend brought you on me. And I was just like, wow, I'm talking to Jim Taddy here. This is unbelievable. And I really appreciated that hour that we got a chance just for me to pick your brain. It was awesome.
Yeah, so just so everybody understands, we did a Zoom thing. I guess it was StreamYard that I used because I used that for my podcast. So we talked for an hour, and Sean's going to be retiring from the military and wants to get into a little more serious about podcasting and sportscasting. So, I mean, from that hour conversation, what was your best takeaway?
Oh, my goodness. Well, one of them was listen to my wife. that was one of my favorites, but I think the fact about just being concise and precise with what you're going to use, as opposed to trying to dance around with words and trying to you know, elongate a story or a piece when you could be as effective with less words. I really took something away from that gym.
Well, Sean, I'm a Guinness guy by nature. What is your beer of choice, and how did the Guys Beer Sports podcast happen?
Right. So my beer of choice, well, I'm also a Guinness guy as well. I like dark lagers. I like, there was one out in BC that I love called Dark Matter. Just unbelievable. And anything that's dark, I like it. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. It's not a beer unless it's a stout.
I understand. Right.
Yeah. Guys Beer Sports basically happened out of the pandemic. All of us were affected by this, March 2020, including the military. And when we ended up shutting down, and when I say shutting down, we're still keeping our obligations to NATO, doing things like that. But unless you were necessary to come in, and sometimes you are, same with me, but you would go in, you would do your job, and then you would go home, and it'd be like maybe 5-6 days to go back to work. And, you know, there's so many things you could do with the honey-do list and so many things that you could do cleaning the house and everything like that. You just start sitting there and just getting bored. And it was my wife that actually brought it up to me saying, hey, how about you get together with a couple of your American naval friends there and a couple of your American friends, start talking sports into a podcast, like speaking to this void that's in your life. And so basically, shout out to my co-host there, Brad Tesh. I contacted him. He was the first one to jump on this. And we just started doing this. And it was unbelievable reception. Like, we were not expecting people to even listen at all. It was just, I thought that we were going to be our only two fans here. Not only were people listening, but when we started our Monday Night Lives and were able to bring in other people to come in and basically treat it like a sports bar, because there was nothing of that happening. It was just so therapeutic. I lost a couple of friends over the past couple of years to suicide. It's a problem within the armed forces, both of them. And I felt that this was therapeutic for me and for a few other people out there, just to be able to get together, have a beer, talk to each other. And the very fact that it's turning out into something a little bit more surprising and also very happy. It's a great feeling right now.
Sean, anybody that's gone to a Leaf game and see the when they honored people from the military by having an ex-Leaf player present a jersey to a member of the military, it's a big deal. People stand up. And I guess, what was it like for you when you had that privilege, that honor?
It was absolutely humbling. You know, you don't know what you're about to think when that happens, because you talk to other people that have had that honor happen to them as well, and they're just, you know, telling you, oh, yeah, it's great, it's a great feeling. But I guess the fact that I grew up in Brampton, and my whole entire military career has been either on the West Coast in the U.S. or on the East Coast. So the very fact that I was able to get a position here in Toronto and to be able to go to a Leafs game and be honored about that, it was just humbling, absolutely humbling. And just to be able to represent the Canadian Armed Forces during Remembrance Week was such a great honor. And to have Mike Johnson come up and hand that jersey over, I thought, what a great guy to have hand over this jersey. I did ask him a question when I was there as well. I asked him, hey, do you have any advice for a future broadcaster? And his answer to me was, don't do what I do. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
that was going to be in our second session, Sean. That was, don't do what I do.
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You're going to be retiring soon from the military, Petty Officer Second Class. I noticed some hardware on your jacket. Do you want to talk about that and what it'll mean to step away?
It is going to be a culture shock, for one. This has been my life by the time I get out, it'll be 19 years. And it's been the greatest ride I've ever had. To be able to go out there, serve your country, to have what they were able to give me as well. Like, I ended up learning French in the military, took a couple of university courses through the military. My confidence, my my ability to make decisions, to be able to look at short, like, you know, small party tasks and things like that in order to utilize manpower and just be of service. It's been great. I used to, like, in my 20s, I would pretty much fuddle around from job to job. I really had no concentration, no any sort of I'm trying to look for the word here, I guess, and no real organization as far as just how to like, you know, stay at a job and be loyal to it and anything like that. I joined the military finally at 31. This is shortly after 9/11, and I was just, man, I got to do something, and something is bigger than just me. And when I joined, of course, it was because of the hunt for Red October why I joined the Navy and chose the trade that I did, which was a sonar operator. I wanted to be Jonesy so bad, but, you know, it's not quite the same way as in the novel. So there's a lot of learning that happened. And, I mean, the Navy, the Canadian Armed Forces brought me all over the world. I've been able to see so many different things. And yes, right now they're going through some time, some change, some transition. But the thing about this organization is that they will persevere. They will come through it. And, you know, as long as there's people, and there are, you know, the people like me who just are just willing to serve, want to go out there, be the best, do the best, I really think that there's no problems with Canadian Armed Forces going forward in the future. Absolutely.
Sean, I want to thank you for two things, for stopping by. Enjoyed the conversation. Nice to reconnect. And thank you for your service for our country. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate that. And again, what an honor to be on the show. I was listening to your show. I love the Yes Guy, No Guy. I heard about your Detroit Lions thing there. It's very interesting. Hopefully they don't win the game and they can get a draft pick there, right? New York didn't do it the proper way.
Yeah. Yeah, they always mess that up. But anyway, we'll hope that we'll push on. Look forward to the next conversation, Sean. Thank you.
Sounds great. Have a great one, Jim.
You too, thanks. That's Sean Valancourt, Petty Officer, Second Class, and broadcaster, has a podcast. You can find it on Twitter, at GuysBeerSports1. So check that out. Homeowners are first-time buyers. If you're considering purchasing, refinancing, if your mortgage is coming up for renewal, talk to Dean Romani. Dean will provide you with custom-tailored mortgage solutions for all your needs. You can contact Dean on Twitter at MTGDean. Visit his website, DeanRomani.com, or give him a call at 416-885-1761. Looking for the perfect gift for the holiday season for your entrepreneur or student in your life? Head over to Fox40Shop.com. Order a copy of Fox 40, founder Ron Foxtrot's new book, The 40 Ways of the Fox. Net proceeds of book sales go to Liberty for Youth and City Kids, two organizations that do wonderful work in our community. The 40 Ways of the Fox is the book. Fox40Shop.com is where you go. Up next, Angelo Mosca Jr. talking about his father who passed away a week ago. This is Yes Guy on TSN 1050, live on your radio, live streaming and podcasting and on demand on Apple CarPlay and Android Auto through the iHeartRadio Canada app.
Gameplay, weekday afternoons from 1 till 4 on TSN 1050. We're going all in on the coverage. You can bet on it. Did you wake up to this?
Yeah, they did it with the challenging of the pass interference. It's like, this isn't going to work. It's slowing the game down. So,
which is smart. It's like if something doesn't work, you fix it. But who knows, because it's just stupid.
You and I both know the emotions that go into a game and some of the things that guys are going through. And I apologize for the noise. There's construction going outside my house, if that's what
is this,
hearing.
A LeBron's chair situation here?
Is the guy moving a whoopee
cushion? It's right in front of my house. Like, these guys are drilling into the street right now. So, anyways, enough of me talking.
I don't know what the hell you said that was, but there is no doubt in my mind that that is just straight ripping ass.
think that's this dude detailed.
There's no other way around it.
My chair needs oil.
Listen to First Up weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on TSN 1050.
You ain't first, you're last.
TSN 1050. Listen anywhere. Listen to episodes of your favorite shows by getting the podcast. Find your favorite shows on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now back to the Yes Guy Show.
Yes Guy.
On TSN 1050.
This segment is sponsored by Braley Financial Advisors Incorporated. Financial advisor Herb Braley, ready to help you with your financial needs. If you want a comfortable and real conversation about your options, contact Herb at 1-877-734-3055 or visit his website, BraleyAdvisors.com. With 30 years of experience, Herb will help you do what you want to do with your money, get it back to you when you need it the most. Financial clarity and comfort with Braley Financial Advisors Incorporated. Be heard outdoors with a Fox 40 electronic whistle, 100 decibels at the press of a button. Buy yours now at Fox40shop.com. Use the code YESGUY for 15% off your order. Jim Taddy and Perry Lefko with you. This is Yes Guy on TSN 1050. A week ago, Angelo Mosca Sr. passed away, and we are pleased to have with us to pay tribute Angelo Mosca Jr. Ange, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Jim. I'm still up and down. You know, people have just sent some beautiful condolences and fun, interesting emails and texts and stuff. I'm not out there technology. I'm not on Facebook, but my sister had hundreds of things from the community, from people all across the country. And of course, when I read some of them, I just break down and I start crying like a little baby. It sparks so many memories and my emotions are just all over the place still. And of course, the Tiger Cats, what they're doing and what they're planning to do in celebration of my dad, and we've been together planning that, and it's been so it's been an up and down. And the Tiger Cats are just being wonderful through this whole thing. Like last night, I don't know if you watched the Toronto game. If they call it a game, I don't know what, Hamilton didn't show up for some reason, but. They had the 68 on the helmets of all the players, and they're going to have that on it continuing to the end of the season, which hopefully is the Grey Cup, and that's what we're pushing for. So that's just the kind of the beginning of some of the things they're doing, and up and down. Sorry, go ahead.
And please accept our condolences and our sympathies to you and your family. Obviously, thing about your dad was that we all had sort of a piece of him. I always refer to him as your favorite uncle. For us, it would have been, guys my age, he would have been our favorite uncle, right? Or composite uncle. And he represented Hamilton so well, and as a guy who was born in Hamilton, I really appreciated that. But this guy was—he was larger than life. So, as his son, when did you realize that?
Honestly, it didn't really hit me. Growing up, I didn't think that, and it hit me when we organized, my sister and I put together the Still Mosca. The Still Mosca event that was August the 26th, 2015. And that was when we found out about Dad having Alzheimer's, and we said we need to organize something quickly. It was March of that year that we found out. So it was a huge tribute night, and also it turned into a huge fundraiser as well. And that's when my job during that was to reach out to the old time wrestling guys and try and get some of them there or get video and whatever. And then also, I was helping with the football end a bit. And then I really began to see, the people in the community coming forward, not like from all over the world, not just Hamilton, not just, Ontario, not just Canada, the US and other countries, like pouring in information and things about, hearing about Dad with the Alzheimer's. And then I went, wow, I had no idea that Dad had that reach and that impact on people. And the biggest impact, and I found out, and even more so now that he's passed, is the people use the word love so much in their condolences, and then they tell stories about, you know, how they loved my dad. And sorry, I'm already getting choked up just thinking about. And I had no idea, of that reach, and the heart that my dad had. Because you know as well as I that incident in 1963 in the Grey Cup, the supposed Willie Fleming hit, where it's even questionable whether he grazed him. Anyways, not to rehash the whole thing, but my dad was branded with that dirty player, cheater, nasty, and instead of trying to fight it, my dad, and this is what he knew to do, and he learned it from a young age in Boston, right, growing up, how to survive and how to capitalize and make the best out of situations, the worst situations. He took that name, embraced it, and played it to a T, and played it up, and then he got tagged with all kinds of different names. So the media, Big Nasty, King Kong, you name it, right? And of course, he that was the image people had him, of course, and he played the game, and I always said he played the game to the nth degree, to the edge, played on the edge, and he was a big, strong, aggressive guy ahead of his time, right? My dad was 275 pounds, in his prime in the 60s with the Tiger Cats, 6'4". And I looked, I went back through the rosters the last week, looking at the other guys, the offensive tackles or the centers. You know, most of those guys are around 240, 245 maybe. And then I looked at the size of the running backs and everything else. And my dad was a monster ahead of his time. Plus, he was so fast and strong, right? And he played the game that way. And so, of course, when he got painted with that image and the commercials that he portrayed, right? Shit, come and tell me to my face. Or the Chevy truck, tough's not enough. All those things, right? But what I didn't know and I didn't realize and people don't realize is my dad had such a huge heart and a real soft spot for kids. And later in his life, his journey, and I believe the Lord, gave my dad those gifts of physical ability and being a supreme athlete, and taking that, and later in life, his calling was to give back to the community and charitable stuff. And in particular, when you look at my dad in his later part of his life, family became a key component for him, which he didn't have when he was younger, and also giving back to charities, not just in Hamilton and especially the CFL, but all across the country. And he did all kinds of charitable fundraising things, and he had a big heart and he loved kids, which people don't know that about him. And he had a soft, sensitive inside and a caring inside that, again, people close to him probably saw that, and a lot of them knew that, right? But the general public didn't know that about my dad. They really didn't. I don't believe. But, if I could share a story, if you don't mind, just of one of the condolences that came in, the fellow that became, the priest that became dad's priest at the end, he told me a really nice story. He's, I'll use his name, Father Charles here in Hamilton at Blessed Sacrament. My dad was in Macassa Lodge for 5.5 years here in Hamilton, and actually, Blessed Sacrament is the precinct, within the precinct. And I was talking with Father Charles, and he told me a story. He grew up in Hamilton, and as a young boy, like a very young boy, I don't know, eight, nine, him and his buddy used to go all the Tiger Cat practices in the 60s. And so practice was ending, and they were standing by the entrance to the locker rooms, and the guys were following one by one, and then along comes my dad. And Father Charlie said, he looked up, way up, and there's a mountain of a man. And so he stuck his little hand out to shake my dad's hand, and my dad took his hand very gently and shaked his hand and looked him in the eye and then stood there and had a wonderful conversation with him. And Father Charles said, you know, that's one thing, again, about your dad is they have, a man that size, he took the time to talk to us, and also he was a gentle man. He was very gentle. So it's interesting. I said, what a story. And that was my dad. He was kind of a gentle giant with a big heart for especially kids and people, and he loved to talk to people. And that was him. That was his life. And he loved to be out. And he had, I don't know, he just had that magic and that charisma that he, and he knew the one-liners and knew how to dole it out and to people at the right times, right? And but again, he had that big kind of intimidating look and voice and commanded that. And most people were kind of shy and timid to really speak up against him, right? but inside, you know, yeah, he was a man like that. Sorry, I'm just kind of rambling, but
no, that's okay.
Yeah. But the other thing is an interesting story is how he ended up in Hamilton. I believe it was God's will for him to end up in this city because Dad said there was a great interview he did on CBC. And actually when we did the Still Mosque thing, he talked about, okay, why Hamilton, how come, and like everyone has said, you know, your dad, my dad ended up in Hamilton. I don't know if you know the story, but it was because he had to leave Wyoming and came up here, and Jim Trimble, who was coach Philadelphia, I guess, had kept an eye on him and ended up getting my dad up here instead of him going to Philadelphia when he was drafted, I don't know, way in the later rounds. But that's how he ended up up here. And so in that interview in CBC, my dad says, well, he's brought it right. First, he thanks the people of Canada. And then he says, you know, and I was made for this city. And I fit right in, and the community welcomed me because of who I am and the way I play football. And he played football like that, you know, hard-nosed, smash-mouth, hard-hitting football and great defense. And the people of Hamilton were known as the steel town, hard-nosed people. And there was a great community of Italian people and a great Italian community in Hamilton. And my dad just melded right in and became he just loved the city and he loved the Tiger Cats gold and black blood ran through his veins, no doubt about it. He just cherished the Tiger Cats.
Andrew, I'm wondering if you're gonna, first of all, condolences on to you and your family, but I knew your dad really well, and I was at the Grey Cup a few years ago. I think it was retired or players or whatever, they have a breakfast, and I was speaking to him. What I didn't know was about 10 minutes before that, him and Joe Capp got into this incredible, disagreement, and that thing blew up. Were you surprised it became as big as it did?
First of all, I was shocked how I found out about it. I didn't go out to the. I'd gone a few games, but I was shocked how big it became and what happened. Like, because my sister had phone. We were talking, and my dad wasn't. Someone had to travel with him, and then actually my stepbrother kind of traveled with him to Vancouver. That was 2011 Vancouver, right? And I found out about by walking into work because I talked to my sister more. She says, "And it's good, nothing happened. Nobody has it out." She told me what had gone on because he had phoned her. And she said, it's good nobody has video of it or anything. Well, I walked into work that morning at 11 a.m., and people were all huddled around the computer looking at this thing online on YouTube or whatever it was. And there it is. And I was just like, what? Anyways, so that's how I found out. And then, then I got on the phone and found out more about it. And I was shocked how much traction and where it went. But again, My dad took that situation, and he was a brilliant thinker of taking situations. How do we turn it and take advantage of it and turn it into something? So I don't know if you know the story about that cane and what happened, but in 2011, when they were at, it was during the BC, the Grey Cup was out in British Columbia, and what that event was, where Joe Kapp and my dad were together, was it was the luncheon for the CFL alumni, and Leo Ezrins, the president of the alumni, was hosting this luncheon, and then they were actually going to be showing that clip of the supposed hit on Willie Fleming in 1963, and then they were going to put it to bed. They were going to ask and vote. Did Mosk actually hit him or didn't he? And that was it, going to be the end of it. But it was a setup. As soon as my dad, now my dad held no grudges against Joe Kapp from what happened back then, but it's obvious Joe Kapp did, because as soon as they walked in the room, my dad had no thoughts of any animosity. He walks into the room and they had Joe Kapp and my dad seated at the same table. And my dad goes up to Joe Kapp, puts out his hand to shake it, and he goes, "Hey, Joe, baby." And Joe, with superlatives, answers right back, "F you, Mosca." And that was the beginning of a setup, right? So then it continued. I just, and of course, they were sitting at the same table with two military guys at the table. And I've got this information firsthand from my stepbrother, who was also at the table, another table in the back corner. And anyways, I won't rehash the whole thing, but I tell you, Joe Kapp was irritating my dad during the whole watch, him waving the flower from the middle of the table under his nose. Then when my dad got up there to talk about the support fund for the CFL, and that's what they were doing, the fundraising for the support program for the CFL alumni guys, then that's to support players who, of course, back then had no pension and had, you know, horrendous medical bills because of the way medical care was during those days in the 50s and 60s, et cetera, right? So that's, they had my dad up on stage, and then he starts to talk, and he's sitting on a high chair with his cane, because my dad walked that cane for to study him then, and Joe Kapp comes up on stage, starts saying some things, approaches my dad, waving that flower under his nose and chin, and then my dad's like, "Joe, get off," and he's trying, "Joe, get off the stage, please get off the stage," and then Joe, like, takes the flower, and he's got it in hand, but he punches my dad in his shoulder. So, of course, my dad's sitting there on the edge of his chair, and he quickly reacts by, he's got the cane, I think, in his right hand, and he flips the cane up and boom, and clips him in the glasses, knocks his glasses off flying, and believe me, there was no cut, no blood, which is, the story's been exaggerated. I've read it so many times the last 2 weeks. And then Joe Kapp comes back and then hits my dad 1, 2, 3 times, and my dad kind of tries to get up and kind of gets a shot in at Joe, but then stumbles and falls to the ground on this podium and then kind of falls off the edge of it and falls behind against a big plate glass window, which you can't, nobody can see the rest of this on the video. And here's the part that really irritates me is Joe Kapp walked up to my dad, and it's off camera, and he kicked my dad, and he kicked him in the well, kind of between the legs and in the buttock area. So anyways, I don't know if you ever saw what happened now, that Joe Kapp got up on stage and told an awful story about why Willie Fleming was there and that he named his dog Mosca, and but he takes good care of that dog, but what he'd really like to do, and I don't know if you heard the story, he would like to kick the shit out of the dog.
Oh, yeah. That's awful stuff.
Yeah,
Angelo, we're running out of time. Really, really appreciate you stopping by. Thank you very much, Angelo. And again, our condolences to you and your family. Thank you.
Jim, thanks. And that was that Perry?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Perry, yeah.
Thanks, Jim.
Yep.
Thanks, Perry. Okay.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, that's okay. No, we appreciate it. For those listening, there's a guy who loves his father. That's what you heard there. This segment is sponsored by Braley Financial Advisors Incorporated. Financial advisor Herb Braley, ready to help you with your financial needs. If you want a comfortable and real conversation about your options, contact Herb at 1-877-734-3055. Visit his website, BraleyAdvisors.com. With 30 years of experience, Herb will help you do what you want to do with your money, get it back to you when you need it the most. Financial clarity and comfort with Braley Financial Advisors Incorporated. And be heard outdoors with a Fox 40 electronic whistle, 100 decibels at the press of a button. Buy yours now at fox40shop.com. Use the code YESGUY for 15% off your order. This is YESGUY on TSN 1050.
First up with Karolnik and Koliakovo.
I appreciate you guys. I listen to you every morning, so all the very best, gentlemen.
You're the best, right, buddy.
Darcy Tucker.
Best Buds with your buds. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on TSN 1050.
You ain't first, you're last.
Grind. TSN 1050. Listen anywhere. Stream your favorite shows in your car. Available on Apple CarPlay via the iHeartRadio app. TSN 1050. Everywhere you want it. You're listening to The Yes Guy Show.
Yes Guy.
On TSN 1050.
Looking for an experienced real estate agent? Charles Park, managing broker, RE/MAX West Realty Brokerage, has 26 award-winning years of real estate experience. So, looking for the highest level of knowledge, experience, and service? Put Charles Park in your corner. Visit charlespark.ca or call him or text him at 647-292-8886. Servicing from Hamilton to Kingston, from Toronto to Muskoka, Charles Park will not be at work by anybody. In fact, he's so busy that he's actually with us right now. Charles, how are you today, sir?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. So, I mean, affordability, this is the big issue. So, help us understand how to cope with this.
Well, basically, I'm going to be really brief about this. The Toronto City Council adopted a policy which requires some of the new residential developments to include affordable housing.
Good, gentlemen.
You're the best,
right,
buddy.
Darcy Tucker.
Best bud.
Hello. Yep. So, basically.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I don't know. So, basically, what that means is some of these new condo developments are going to be built in and around key development areas. They're going to be requiring the build, some of the builders to be building affordable housing units. So for, like, you know, I'll give you an example. In Richmond Hill, there was a building where they wanted to go higher. So the builder negotiated with the township in the region to put 4 units that they would give to York Housing, to create some affordable housing in that area. It looks like they're going to be adopting that policy so that, any builder that wants to build close to, like, public transit, is going to be required to be building these units. So we're going to be watching that very closely to see how that affects the market and availability and whether or not this will have an impact on the condominium market.
You know, Charles, I had an agent knock on my door, do a cold call a few days ago, telling me about a house that was sold for like $1.5 million, asking me if I wanted to sell my house. My first thought was, okay, I'm going to sell my house, but now I'm going to have to pay or rent at an exorbitant price. So how do you deal with that kind of conundrum?
So the number one election issue was affordable housing. And the reason why our inventory is down 55% from the previous year is because exactly that. Where do you go when you sell? Where do you go? And it's a problem that we're all trying to solve. We all know from experience that if you create supply, that it should ease the pressures on pricing. But right now, the supply is the biggest problem.
So if somebody listening to this and they're thinking about selling, they should list their house now, shouldn't they?
They're going to be capital. You know what? Here's the statistic. If you bought a house anytime before 2014 or in and around, you basically doubled the value of your home. So if we're going to be doubling prices every 8 years in this market, when is the best time to get in? Today or yesterday? But if you are in an opportune situation where you could actually, you know, sell and capitalize on the high prices that homes are selling for now, hey, you're sitting in the driver's seat.
You know, if someone's thinking about selling their house, would you tell them put some improvements into it to get a higher value, or just sell it as it is because it's going to be sold regardless?
Because of the shortage of housing, I have been watching garbage sell. It's unbelievable. So you'll see a nicely renovated home, it'll sell, and then an unrenovated home will sell almost just as much. It boggles the mind. That was never the case before, but it just there's a lack of choice out there, guys. And I think what's going to end up happening is the governments are going to have to be a little bit more cooperative by cutting the red tape with all the developers that want to build and add to the supply, so that we can ease the pressure on pricing.
So, I mean, there used to be that rule that if you redid the kitchen or the bathroom, that would increase the value. But really what you're saying is the value is so high, there's no need to do that.
At this point in time, I've been watching. When you look at the photos of a listing and you think, oh, my God, look, yeah. How is this going to sell? They didn't even paint the place. And then all of a sudden, you see it sell within a day or two, and you're like, oh, my God. it doesn't speak to any kind of reasoning. And the only explanation is, lack of choice. So it's a very difficult situation for a lot of home buyers right now that have already sold their home and then entering the market after they've sold their home firm. And now they're realizing, oh my gosh, there's almost nothing to buy out there. And whenever I find something, it becomes multiple offer. And I find myself in a situation where I'm competing against, you know, say 5, 10, 15, 20 other offers.
Charles, really appreciate it. You know, we're pressed for time. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
So, okay, if you're looking for representation, Charles Park is your guy. If you're an experienced real estate agent looking for comprehensive value and a distinct advantage, contact Charles Park, managing broker, RE/MAX West Realty Brokerage, offering state-of-the-art technologies with exclusive coaching and mentoring. For a confidential interview, call 647-292-8886 or email charles@remaxwest.net. This is Yes Guy on TSN 1050.
Number one in inspiration.
Someone said I was inspired to go to the Bulk Barn last week. Like, that's not what we're talking about.
Somebody said a good bowel movement.
Overdrive, Toronto's legends of the couch. Weekdays 4 to 7 on TSN 1050.
I appreciate people that are just honest. They're like, no, not really. Like, nothing's inspiring.
Homeowners are first-time buyers. If you're considering purchasing or refinancing, or if your mortgage is coming up for renewal, talk to Dean Romani. Dean will provide you with custom-tailored mortgage solutions for all your needs. You can contact Dean on Twitter at MTGDean. Visit his website, deanromani.com, or give him a call at 416-885-1761. So you're considering purchasing, refinancing. Dean Romani is your guy, 416-885-1761. Really pressed for time, Perry, so no intro. Let's just do a quick Yes Guy, No Guy. Go ahead, sir.
It's time to jump on the Argo bandwagon.
Oh, Yes Guy. In fact, my Yes Guy, No Guy is the Argos will actually represent the East in the Grey Cup in Hamilton.
Can't predict the future, man, so I can't say Yes Guy, No Guy. Oh. Can I give you another quick Yes Guy, No Guy?
Yes, we have 1 minute exactly.
John Tortorella telling Connor McDavid to shut up is the pot calling the kettle black.
Tortsy, what can I say? He's enjoyable, right? So I'm going to say, Yes Guy. How about one
yes,
more?
Yes Guy!
Yeah. Yes one Guy, more. No Guy. You are now off the Buffalo Bills bandwagon.
No, sir. My ankles were broken a long time ago. I had surgery. I'm going to stay on the Bills bandwagon. Bad game. Let it go.
Okay. One more. You can squeeze one more in.
It's finally that the Jack Eichel thing is over with is great. That thing took way too long.
Oh, absolutely, Yes Guy. And he's had surgery, so hopefully he and Vegas and the Buffalo Sabres go on to bigger and better things. I want to thank everybody for persevering with us today. Got into some time crunch problems. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Yes Guy.